News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig.
Morning from Dan. Sean Sullivan in for Dalton Orwig. So you're all Irish-American team here. Daniel Patrick Brennan and Sean Sullivan. Beat that if you can. 8:07 with Dan and Sean.
Also, reminder, too, so we're getting ready to finish up another week of the America 250 Summer Showcase and get into a new week. Reminder that we're going to do the grand prize drawing here less than a month from now, and your chance to win $4,600 grand prize.
Never had anything like that here.
Fantastic. So you have a chance to, number one, get in by putting your patriotic photo up on our Facebook page, facebook.com/FMTalk1065. And it's what's a patriotic photo to you?
Right.
We didn't give you, like, it's got to have a flag, it's got to have...
No parameters.
No parameters. And that's what's been pretty cool, to see all the different photos. And then once you post your photo up in a given week, you make your friends aware, make your family aware that your photo's up there. The photo that gets the most likes will win for the week. Your weekly prize from American Legacy in Gulf Shores, you're going to get an American-made American flag plus mount. Okay, you get that for just being the weekly winner. And it puts you in the running for the grand prize. Like I said, $4,600 grand prize. In addition to putting, and you can do both. Because people ask, yes, you can do both. You can compete with the photograph on the Facebook page and try to get in that way. Also, go by our participating sponsors and drop your name in the registration boxes. When you walk in these places, you'll see the box that shows, it says America 250, FM Talk. You see the kind of the patriotic emblem on there. Drop your name in the registration box, and the participating sponsors themselves are going to draw for qualifiers as well. So you stop by J&M Tackle, G&D Farm Feed and Outdoors, Gray's Craze, Cart Doctor, Piggly Wiggly locations all through the Fruited Plain.
Indeed.
Mount Vernon, Georgetown, Saraland, 8 Mile, Tolmanville, Spanish Fort, Loxley, Fairhope, Foley, the University Boulevard store where I go.
Yep.
Stop by, drop your name in the registration box. They're going to draw as well. So multiple ways to get in, but that drawing's coming up the end of this month, beginning of September, and one person. Now, the qualifiers are all going to win the American flag from American Legacy.
Right.
But the winner's winning $4,600 in fantastic prizes. Details on that on our Facebook page, also on our website, fmtalk1065.com. Just when you get there, click the America 250 banner there in the upper left-hand corner of the screen. It'll show you all the details, so make sure you're in.
She's a great American, but she's not eligible to win that prize. She's Caroline Dobson.
I think she is.
She's Caroline.
Caroline can. I mean, it's people who work here can't win it.
It would just look fishy before an election. It would look fishy.
You think, I mean, we maybe get an audit from the Secretary of State's office.
Yeah. Yeah. She becomes Secretary of State, and then they begin to prosecute us. Caroline, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks. How are y'all doing?
Doing good. First thing for you, school's around the corner. You're campaigning or about to really start to kick in the campaigning for, of course, you're the Republican nominee for Secretary of State in that election in November. But you've got two little girls, I think, right? So how's the family? How are the kids doing? They ready for school?
Yes, no, we're getting geared back up for school and summer routine, which will be very nice. In fact, the last time I was on the Jeff Poor Show, my kids made a cameo because they were in the car with me. So yeah, we're all ready for a little routine, which will be great. But no, it's been a wonderful summer, and I've been blessed to get to see a lot of family and spend a lot of time with Bobby and the girls. So it's been a good one, if a hot one.
Yeah, I don't know if they realize that, but and it happened organically. But there's not a campaign director that could have come up with something that. So if people didn't remember, I remembered it greatly. I was sitting there in my office, and Caroline's talking to Jeff, and this happened to all of us.
Yeah.
The Bluetooth switches back over to the car.
Yeah.
When you get, how many times you've been in a conversation, you're like, hello,
yep.
Hello, and you realize it's back in the car.
Right.
And your children were singing, and I thought that was endearing, and it was so real what happens to all of us. I mean, that you talk about regular people stuff, even while you're campaigning,
yep.
And the kids are in the car singing, and your Bluetooth switches over. I mean, I don't know how you encapsulate that in a 30-second or a 60-second radio ad, but you got the material. We got it on podcast.
Well,
you can use it.
That makes me feel better. It was a little humiliating.
So. No. I think it's – I heard it, and I walked down the hall. I said, that's fantastic. That's real people stuff there.
Yeah, so. you got an A-plus and a gold star from your campaign director with that one. So in any event, you would like to be the Secretary of State, and in the middle of all of that, I think one of the primary things, no pun intended, but is basically we'd like to know that the elections that we vote in are, they're up to speed. That everything's on the up and up, right?
Oh, exactly. And I feel like a lot of times during the primary, first of all, just emphasizing to people how, I think some people think Secretary of State, they think, oh, do you just take minutes of the state legislature or something? You hear the word secretary and you think, oh, that's an important role, but it's a scrivener's role. And people, a lot of folks, part of campaigning was educating people about, not just how crucial election integrity is, truly vital to ensuring the future of our country, even though we have people we admire step up to run and we have people that get out to vote. If we don't have secure elections, if the process isn't secure, then it's kind of all for nothing. But also the fact that, we haven't achieved, perfect election integrity. And far from it. I think we saw right after, the Alabama primary, we saw what can happen when you don't have good laws in place and you're not enforcing them. With the LA mayor's race, with the California gubernatorial race, that was kind of exhibit A of states that don't do it right and don't have laws on the books to ensure that only rightful voters are casting votes and that the process by which they're doing it is trustworthy. And then we also saw, about a month ago when President Trump addressed the nation and talked and really open the eyes of a lot of people to, direct influence by the Chinese, attempted influence of our elections by the Chinese, and the documentation on that. And so there's a lot of work that remains to be done. I think just over the past summer, we've seen we cannot take too many steps to secure the process. And of course, part of the role of Secretary of State is also encouraging participation, but you can't encourage participation if people don't trust the process in the first place. So the first step is securing the process. And then it makes it easier to encourage people to participate when they know that it's a trustworthy mechanism by which they're casting their votes and by which, if they decide to, it's a big sacrifice to run for office. And so for people to make that sacrifice, they need to know they actually have a fair shot at actually serving. And the votes will be counted only those votes that should be counted will be counted.
It's interesting. I mean, this is outside the purview of Secretary of State of Alabama, national story, but the SAVE Act to be framed as something you would think it would be the most politically divisive among we the people of anything that hit Washington the way it's been dealt with. But the polling shows this is not just Republicans, independents, Democrats, people going, all the people are like, yeah, that seems fine. Yeah, and they cannot get that thing close to the finish line.
No, it is so vital that we do pass that piece of legislation, but I don't have a lot of confidence, and not that our delegation, the Republican delegation from Alabama, is fighting tooth and nail for that. You hear Coach, you hear Senator Britt, our Republican members of Congress continuing to push for passage of the SAVE Act, but it just shows you the true political agenda of the left. They are because they cannot win on the issues, they are dependent on non-citizens votes to try to gain power, and that's doubly concerning when you look at the socialists that are being elected in throughout blue states. The Michigan primaries, some of these candidates that have been elected in Democrat primaries, but the Democrat turnout as well You have to believe that some of those voters are not actually U.S. citizens, and again, that's a reason for those in power on the left in D.C. to be fighting against the SAVE Act. While the overwhelming majority of Americans, left, right, center, would agree that it's just a common sense measure and a needed measure to ensure that Americans are deciding the future of America.
So besides the SAVE Act, you've discussed creating, you know, initiatives related to election integrity. What specific approaches do you envision that you would implement if you become Secretary of State?
Well, my first order of business, and I have I've already called on the legislature to create an election integrity division within the Office of Secretary of State, so dedicated experts who can immediately investigate claims of voter fraud, who can continually work on voter roll maintenance to ensure that we remove illegal aliens and non-citizens, to ensure that we're working very closely with county officials, with county coroners, to make sure that we're immediately removing deceased voters so that those don't end up as you know, names on the voter roll that could be manipulated by far left groups, by local folks engaged in local voter corruption. You know, because you kind of have to fight on two fronts. There absolutely are. There's dark money, and there are dark far left forces funded by George Soros that are, you know, trying to manipulate voter registration, undermine election security. And then, you know, on a local level, like what you saw in my home county, Monroe County, Frisco City, with the mayoral race, then you've got, you know, some people think that they're in a, you know, they're in a rural community and they can kind of engage in fraud without ever getting caught. So that, and that's vitally important too, because you think about it, for most of us, our main interface with capital G government is our mayor or our city council member, yeah, or our county commissioner. And so if you don't even trust the process by which those people are elected, then you're probably not going to have a whole lot of respect for your state leaders, your national leaders. If you don't, it's just going to put a bad taste in your mouth. You're going to be less likely to be engaged and less likely to you know, want to participate in the civic process if you don't even trust that your local officials were elected fairly. So having a division of the Office of Secretary of State that can, again, impartially and objectively investigate claims of fraud and work on voter roll maintenance is vital.
Yeah, I wonder how you change those opinions. Just, you know, when there's a, I would like to see the prosecutions be more public. Yeah, you know, people mm-hmm. don't, you know, to know about that, say, hey, you know, we take this seriously. At the same time, then, you know, say, here's the measures we're using to make sure it doesn't happen again. I mean, some kind of two-pronged thing. I could imagine if you were elected, you know, an ad campaign that would run that way and say, mm-hmm. here's on this side of the ledger, here are the people we have prosecuted for doing this, and here's the things going forward that we have put in that keep this from happening. Because it is a big fear, this blanket, like, I just don't trust elections. I mean, I hear this stuff all the time. Yep. That's why I don't vote. I don't trust the elections. That is a rot at the center of a republic that could bring it down. I mean, that is really absolutely dangerous. It's really dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. And again, that's, you know, something I've heard throughout the state. And we also have issues where we've had, you know, high growth areas, you know, issues that maybe aren't you know, directly related, that aren't, don't touch on the issue of fraud necessarily, but accessibility, you know, there's some precincts that have thousands of voters reporting to that particular precinct. One particular in Lee County a few years ago, due to explosive population growth, there were 16,000 voters that were supposed to report to a particular precinct. Wow. And people were waiting in line for hours. And so part of what this election security division could do would also be to ensure that, you know, I absolutely believe that we need to be voting on voting day, of course, exceptions for, you know, healthcare workers and folks that cannot physically get to the polls on election day. But the rest of us should be going to the polls on election day But, you know, if we have jobs, we can't wait two and 3 hours in line to vote. So that's a form of disenfranchisement, frankly. Yeah. And so, again, having a division of the office that can focus on that, I think would be critical to just restoring trust in the process.
Yeah, well, you spread it out. I mean, you're the one, you're Ivy League. I graduated from Alabama, but the both of us together can say, all right, we got X number of voters here. We have X number of polls. Mm-hmm. Let's draw the lines to have, instead of this poll over here looking like the Maytag repairman just sitting there with, you know, dust dust collecting, and this one over here is chock-a-block full. I don't know. Maybe some of those people go to the we draw a line where they go to the other poll, and we allocate evenly the number of people that show up at any given poll.
Right, right. No. There needs to be a lot of, so the voting process, I mean, for, you know, a lot of people, even people that are dutiful voters, it's like, I got to go vote, you know, whereas like where I'm from in North Monroe County, I think Old Texas, I think there are 26 people that vote in the right. Old Texas precinct. So it's no problem. But we need to, you know, again, it's already taking time out of people's day. We need the electorate of Alabama to prioritize voting. So we need to make it as painless as possible on election day to physically cast your ballot.
I tell you what, we're going to take a quick break here, Caroline, and we'll continue our conversation with Caroline Dobson, Republican nominee for the Office of Secretary of State of Alabama, and we'll be right back. And it's here, and voila, so is Caroline Thompson, is now live in studio. What a transition. You must have been right around the corner.
That's right. I was. Just a couple minutes late.
I look up, and it's like, she's here. Okay. 8:28, so we'll have a lot more time to talk after the 8:30 news break. But good to have you in studio.
Yes, no, grateful to be here.
Always good to have you in the city of Mobile, too. I think that, you know, You did a lot of work, when I say work, research, and have a greater understanding of the city of Mobile from your congressional District 2 run. I was always impressed with how much you really, really got to know the area.
Well, I'm just so grateful. So many business owners, the port, local government just really opened their doors to me. And so I was so grateful for that. And so now Mobile truly, truly feels like a second home. And then if I'm lucky enough to be the next Secretary of State, under Alabama law, the Secretary of State has to have residence in Montgomery. So I will be in Montgomery.
Okay.
But maybe one day, Bobby and I will get to call ourselves Mobilians.
I think
that would be a delight.
Be nice to run into at the many cocktail parties that that I attend in Spring Hill. But the area's got a lot to offer.
Oh, it's so exciting.
Not just the state, but
yes,
really, it's really beginning to find itself, I think.
Oh, absolutely. No, I think this area is truly the key to opportunity in this state. And I mean, you've got great things going on in North Alabama and Huntsville. And it's exciting to see kind of some projects that are bringing the two together.
Yep.
But I think that,
agreed,
you know, there's a lot of cross-selling there between what's going on down here and what's going on in North Alabama. It's
also
exciting.
I'll check on the text line, 251-343-0106, if you have a question for Caroline Dobson, and we will see what you've got on your mind, our listeners. Thank you very much for listening this morning. And again, a quick news break right now, Caroline, and
yes,
then we'll be back with you. Sounds good?
Sounds great.
Let's call it 8:29 right now, FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. Back with Caroline, who would like to be your Secretary of State. That election is in November, of course. We do have a special election on August the 11th. Don't expect a big turnout, but maybe you're going to turn out. Don't let it sneak by you. That's next Tuesday.
On the text line, 251-343-0106. Now, back to Mobile Mornings.
I'm going to turn up my voice and turn up the voice of Louis Arata from McConnell Automotive as well. Selling those cars. Louis, what's going on, man?
Oh, man. Good morning, guys. How are y'all?
Doing just great.
Yeah, we're selling a few cars over here. We got a great selection of pre-owned. We got a great selection of new. Man, we check everything out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. Don't forget, we got those new half-ton diesels here, and got the 1.9% on those. It looks like it's going to be a great weekend. We're going to be here all weekend with the air condition blowing and try to get some of these hot cars out of here.
Yeah, so the construction on Dolphin Street, it's now in its 22nd year. What's going on over there?
Looks like they're trying to fix the drainage system, but you know what? I don't want to say something ugly, but how do you fix a drainage system in Rag Swamp? it doesn't happen. So that's okay.
They're not ready for primetime pavers over there on Dolphin Street. But, maybe they can sweep them into your dealership, and the next thing you know, they've got a brand-new car.
That's right, and we got the back gate wide open, so, you know, you don't want to go down Dolphin Street. Like I've always said, come in off Oshel, turn on Sage, and then turn on Dolphin Street Extension and come right through the back gate. I mean, it's so easy. Don't have to deal with all that out there. And like I said, we're going to be here all weekend, and we got a lot of work trucks to try to get rid of. We got a few vans, and just got a great selection. Like I said, check everything out online at McConnellAutomotive.com.
Louie, have a great weekend. I mean, a great weekend for you means you're selling a lot of cars, so best of luck, and we'll talk to you again next week, okay?
That's right. Thank y'all.
Louie Arata is with McConnell Automotive, and of course, the website McConnellAutomotive.com. 837, young lady who knows all about McConnell Automotive and most things in Mobile, is Caroline Dobson, who would like to be your Secretary of State. How much, Caroline, we talked about the past campaign. It's like you've been running for something for 3 years, just about.
Somewhat, yes.
Doesn't it feel that way right now?
It does, but you know, it's such a wonderful opportunity to get to learn more about our state, learn more about the opportunities.
Let me see. I'm not exactly sure why that microphone is not working. We'll go with that one. How about
is this
that?
Better?
Yeah, that's working better. Yeah. So like I say, it's like you've been running for a long time, but in that time, your knowledge of the state has probably just gone through the roof.
Oh yes, and but that it's a two-way street. So I'm so grateful to the individuals, the businesses, local government officials, churches who've opened their doors to let me learn more about the unique threats and opportunities that Alabamians face throughout our state. And they're not all the same. You know, in places like where I'm from, Monroe County, we're facing population decline. In other areas like Baldwin County, Mobile, certainly think about Limestone County, Madison County, way of life is changing because there's been such exponential growth. And so that's, you know, as our next Secretary of State, that's I want to do everything I can to promote growth across the state. We cannot be developing like a checkerboard. The entirety of the state needs to grow and prosper, but we also need to protect the values, the way of life that makes Alabama so special.
I want to talk about growth in the state of Alabama too, which you're very interested in. You've got some good ideas about. But the election day itself, we talked about election integrity, how important that is, and I agree 100%. It's vitally important. What's voter access or poll worker recruitment? I know you think that people should get involved because those things don't just kind of magically spring up on their own. They need people to be at the polls too. So there is work that needs to be done.
Oh, absolutely. And I think, you know, I think by and large, Mobile gets it. I've witnessed, you've got so many folks here that volunteer to be poll workers, volunteer to be poll watchers. But the reality is the Office of Secretary of State employs less than 40 people full time. So on election day, it's not like these are employees of the Secretary of State that go to every county. It's local folks stepping up. And I would say currently the majority of our poll workers, which we have thousands on election day and we'll have thousands on Tuesday, are private citizens and a lot of them are retirees. And so I'm so grateful for folks who are in the golden age of their life. They don't have to be doing anything. They have served their time and contributed to society, but they're still stepping up to ensure the integrity of our elections. but we need more. We need the next generation to step up.
Younger.
Yes, younger. Yeah. And to learn from these veteran poll workers while they're still there to impart their wisdom. And you know, the ideal thing is that, you know, so many young people have flexible work schedules.
They do.
In a post-COVID world, flexibility is key. And so I'm also trying to make outreach not only to young people who could easily make that sacrifice of one day to work the polls, but also their employers too. Small business owners throughout this state. It's like, look, you're frustrated with your current local government officials. You feel like the process isn't as trustworthy as it should be. Mm-hmm. Well, can you give one, you know, can you spare one of your employees? Mm-hmm. Can you give them a paid or partially paid day off to go work the polls? Because poll workers do get compensated,
yeah.
But depending on, you know, people don't want to use a vacation day to go work the polls. Anyway, I'm also, again, trying to make that outreach and emphasize how important it is that we have the next generation of poll workers stepping up to ensure the integrity of our elections.
You say as a Secretary of State, you'll have 40 employees?
Currently, I believe there are 38 employees.
What exactly do they do day to day?
So there's a Director of Elections currently, one individual, but the vast majority deal with the corporate services and business filings. So you think about all the requests that are made to form an LLC. And so that's incredibly important to ensure that we have same day services, especially as fast as as the world moves and you need immediate responses. It's my goal to cut a lot of those fees. You know, currently you have to pay to dissolve an LLC. You have to pay to update your registered agent information. And these are transactions that take place within a matter of seconds online.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the fee structure is just cost prohibitive to a lot of small business owners. And it disincentive, even if it's not cost prohibitive, it disincentivizes people to keep accurate records because it's, you know, well, I don't want to pay $100 to update my registered agent's address.
Right,
but we need that.
Yeah.
And so just trying to make it more accessible and affordable for small business owners. You know, I'm the daughter of two small business owners in rural Monroe, Wilcox County. And so I'm going to be entering the office through the lens of trying to make it a lot less red tape, just make it an easier process to ensure the growth of small businesses, because I think small businesses certainly are struggling in this economy.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting that you come from the background where you are IB educated, but at the same time grew up in rural Alabama. Mm-hmm. You know the issues of those places maybe a lot better than people that live in a metro area like Mobile and Baldwin County, where we just kind of know what we know.
Right, right. And that's, I mean, again, I think that sometimes people discount rural areas or think, oh, well, people can, you know, drive to metro areas when it comes to healthcare, when it comes to, I think what we don't talk about enough also is just kind of general business ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot of parts of rural Alabama, there are no attorneys left. There are no accountants.
Doctors.
Doctors. And so you think about, aside from you know, healthcare and needing to get healthcare. But, you know, you just think about you have a
services,
legal need.
Right?
You need a deed drafted.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to drive to Mobile if you're in a lot of parts of Southwest Alabama. And so, again, trying to kind of rebuild that ecosystem, because you see it on I-65. You leave Montgomery and then there's no traffic until you get to exit 19 on I-65, and that is going to put a ceiling on the degree to which Mobile and Baldwin County can grow when you've got kind of no man's land.
Yeah, in between.
In between.
Yeah.
And so I think it's incredibly important that we're just not ignoring, you know, the dark sky areas of the state.
And you don't allow us to do that. You do a really good job of that. So, but how does, in your role of Secretary of State, how do you envision being able to help the state attract business? How does that work?
Well, I want to work with there are things I can do unilaterally, such as you know, lowering costs, making those services a lot more accessible, and making the website more user friendly. But then there's also a lot that I want to do in conjunction with the next Secretary of Commerce, in conjunction with the state legislature, and yes, on a more global level, I want to drive more business incorporation to the state. I think when we, you know, you'll hear about there being kind of emissaries of Alabama officials and business leaders going different places to recruit business. And so it's always about, you know, kind of well, here's a great industrial site we have for your business. But I feel like we've been missing the boat a little bit by not also getting those companies to incorporate in Alabama. For years, for decades, Delaware, New York, those were the states you wanted to incorporate in because they had a really developed body of law that was very business friendly. Well, we have seen what's happened. We have Mom Dom, you know, basically creating the People's Republic of New York, a new communist city, and so and Delaware is a similar blue state policies that are killing business. And so the state of Delaware alone last year lost $3 trillion from companies and corporations throughout the country unincorporating from Delaware, reincorporating in red states.
So if they're losing out, somebody's winning.
Somebody's winning, yes, yes. You can't operate as an LLC without being registered in a state. You're incorporated somewhere. I think it's really important that Alabama tries to position itself as a compelling alternative to Delaware. And currently, we're not. I mean, the top kind of alternate choices are Texas, South Dakota, Wyoming. These states don't have more to offer than Alabama, but they've had legislatures and elected public officials that have been hyper-focused on being innovative when it comes to their business code.
What are the changes that need to be made? Legislatively?
Yeah, some legislative changes. And then part of it is also, for instance, the blind trust provisions of South Dakota's, to get really in the weeds,
trust
provisions of South Dakota's law are really attractive to certain businesses. Tax structure is also attractive. But also, it's a marketing thing, too. Representative Danny Garrett from the Trustful area has done a state-by-state comparative analysis of the cost of doing business in Alabama versus Texas versus Florida. I'm a firm believer that we certainly need to lower our state income tax. But also, I think we're currently 50th, and we're the lowest state property tax. We don't sell that message enough.
No, you're right.
Part of it is making some really concrete changes to our tax code, to our business code, but also getting that message out that, you are attracted by the fact that Florida has no income taxes, but have you thought about the cost of regulation in Florida? Florida has more regulations, just plain and simple. Have you thought about property taxes in Florida? Again, making a better pitch when it comes to getting more businesses to actually incorporate in Alabama.
Where do entrepreneurs come in all of this? You being a younger, highly educated young lady that's a world that's pretty fascinating, too. And some of those entrepreneurs create, maybe not immediately, but create big business.
Oh, absolutely. You can never discount a startup these days. Things move so quickly. And that's what's really exciting to see here in Mobile, Innovation Portal, and just some other entrepreneurial spirit here in Mobile is really exciting. And so I want to use the Office of Secretary of State to help scaffold, some of those businesses that are getting off the ground and be a supporter as opposed to being viewed as, you didn't get this form filed on time.
Exactly.
It was this fee.
I hear that all the time, even with the city of Mobile. I'm sorry, but I do.
Yes, yes. And licensing, it's really tough. There's a barrier to entry for folks with a great idea, even if they've been able to get the capital to get that idea off the ground. There's still just a lot of red tape, and to the degree that Secretary of State's office can again be a helper rather than a burden, I want to do that. And what's all Secretary of State also, you think about all the nonprofits, they also have to file with the Office of Secretary of State. And so Mobile I think leads the state, and so just examples of nonprofits that people seeing needs, stepping up to meet those needs. Just so many incredible examples. Marty Carroll, Women's Resource Center, Victory Health Partners, Vets Recover, Gina England and Bright Beginning. Across the board, from big to small, just great examples.
I've got to take you to Light of the Village sometime. It's in Alabama Village. It's a Christian ministry. I happen to be on the board. That would really make your day.
I would love to.
It's incredible.
You've got so many great examples here. And so I want to use Office of Secretary of State to help support those nonprofits, not just be, I need to make sure my nonprofit status is correct, but how can we help create synergies? How how can we highlight some of these nonprofits and the work that they're doing?
They do incredible work, and we've got to make sure that they're fortified and they're okay to keep doing their work.
Right, exactly.
And also, as a lawyer, how can you use that to your advantage in the role of Secretary of State?
Well, I think, you know, when it comes to election law, making sure on the election front, you know, making sure that we're up to date and complying with all federal and state law when it comes to elections, make sure that we're enforcing those laws, and also being prepared when we have threats of lawfare from the left. I mean, we've seen the far left, when they can't win fair and square, they resort to the courts. Mm-hmm. And that's why we had this whole redistricting issue in the first place.
That's why you ran in District 2.
Right, right. Yeah. And so making sure that we're ready to go toe-to-toe, that we, to the greatest extent possible, are on offense and not on defense there. But then, of course, on the corporate side, you know, just having been my day-to-day, representing a lot of small business owners, making sure that we have same-day services, that we're protecting the privacy of Alabama business owners, but that we're also transparent when it comes to transactions and making sure that business runs smoothly.
So it's November, of course, the election for Secretary of State, among others, and this is your second state. Well, I take that back. It was not a statewide election earlier on. It was congressional district too.
Right, right.
But this has been, I'm sure, quite an experience for you and your family, this statewide campaign. Where do people find out more about what your vision is and if they would like to support you?
Yes, no, you can check us out. Our website is dobsonforalabama.com, and then we're also on social media, Instagram, X, Truth Social, and Facebook, Dobson for AL. And I, you know, would humbly ask for the votes of listeners in November. Encourage you to get out to vote, but encourage you to get out and vote on Tuesday too. That mm-hmm. is very, very important that Republicans have a strong showing.
We always appreciate your time. Obviously, you're doing a job, you're campaigning, and it's going to pick up after the kids are back in school.
That's right. Look forward to being down here a lot more.
Look forward to having you.
Thank you.
Carolyn Dobson is your GOP candidate for Secretary of State of the state of Alabama. 8:52, we'll wrap things up on the way.
Mobile Bay starts its day with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on Mobile Mornings.
What's happening at 8:57 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings? Thanks so much to Sean Sullivan filling in for Dalton last couple of days. Alec Naaman, Naaman's Catering, and of course also, this is a guy, he digs the pig. Alec, tell everybody why in particular you dig the pig at university and airport.
You know, I'm going to tell you, great service, have a lot of unique items throughout the store. We're located, we have a section in the store, Naaman's International. We have a hot buffet, plenty of casseroles, plenty of entrees, plenty of things to sample. The store, though, great service. You love the meat cuts and so forth, and that's why we dig the pig.
It's funny, when I'm at the university store, people are just tossing that phrase out there. They're digging the pig. Customers and the people that work there as well. Great place. Alec, and thanks for your mentioning digging the pig here this morning. There's some specials you need to know about, too. Boneless center-cut pork chops, $2.99 a pound. Fresh fryer leg quarters, $6.99 a pound. Cluster tomatoes on the vine, $1.39 a pound. Just some of the deals this week at Piggly Wiggly, and not just on University, but all those locations everywhere in Mobile and Baldwin County. Jeff Porchow on the way next. He's got Friday regulars, Todd Stacy from Alabama Daily News. Jerry Carl, not necessarily a regular, but you know him well. Former U.S. Representative and trying to do it all over again. It's State Senator Chris Elliott before he wraps up the show. We're going to wrap up this show right now, 8:59 on FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Morning. See you Monday.